Yaakov Avinu marries two ladies in this week's parsha, Leah and Rachel. And though on the surface it seems as if this was a mistake, this wasn't meant to be, of course everything is from Shemayim, everything's Hashkacha. Of course Leah was always supposed to be one of the Imahos. In fact, she was the one buried with Yaakov Avinu in Maras Machpelah. So I want to understand a little bit what the panemius, what the idea is of Yaakov having to marry two wives, two Jewish wives, that is, as opposed to Avram, who had just one wife of Sarah, we're not counting Hagar, and Yitzchak had one wife of Rivka. Why did Yaakov have to have two wives? What's the panemius? What's the idea? What's the lesson and message for us? So I think we have to backtrack to Parshas Chayisara for a moment. But the Parsha tells us how Sarah Imenu died, and Rashi explains because she heard that her son Yitzchak Avinu was being shechted, was being brought as a carbon, as an akedah. And she had some type of heart attack, got so scared as a mother, and her neshama departed from her body. And many of the Mefarshim, Yaakov Kamenetsky and others, all find it troubling that Sarah Imenu died accidentally. She died before her time. And all of them say this wasn't true. This was when she was supposed to die. Her p'tir was supposed to happen. It just coincided with the Akedah. But it wasn't that the hearing of the Akedah caused her death, but it was that the last thing she heard was the Akedah. That was the last words that she heard before she died. But her p'tir, her time was up. And so I once heard the following idea. I heard it in the name, I believe, of Reb Tzadok many years ago. I didn't find it in Reb Tzadok himself. So it might be somewhere else, not in this parsha. Maybe I missed it. But the idea resonates very much with me, and hopefully with you. That Avram Avinu had married Sarah Imenu. Avram was a person of chesed and ava, as we know. His tremendous achnas orchim, kiv rechokim, love for every Jew, every single person in the world. And the 10 tests that he had to go through was supposed to show his mysterious nefesh to Hashem Yisbarach how much he loved him, that he was able to change his nature, go against his teva. A person who loved every single person, and each test was furthering to see how are you going to change yourself for Hashem? Are you going to moser nefesh? Avram had tremendous ava chesed. Where he was lacking was in the department of din and gevura, punishment, and discipline, going against your own nature. And so Avram had to have married Sarah Imenu, not because Sarah Imenu was only tzaddikus, because she was, but it was the perfect match. They were so compatible, because Sarah Imenu represented din and gevura. She was able to discern between different things. Avram loved everyone, but she was able to discern between Yishmael and Yitzchak. She sent them away from the home. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, "Kol asher tomar lo tishma b'kola." Everything that she says, you're supposed to listen to her. Listen to Sarah Imenu. And Sarah Imenu was with Avram every single step of the way. Every step of the way through the challenges and until the final challenge, until the 10th challenge, the climax of everything, Akedas Yitzchak. And Avram could not have done this on his own had he not been married to someone like Sarah Imenu, who pushed him the other way, who had given him the ability to show elements of din and gevura, to be moser nefesh for Hashem Yisbarach. So her time was complete because her mission was done. She helped Avram, who is chesed, to balance out with his counterpart, Sarmenu, who is Din. And the same thing holds true with Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu was Pachad Yitzchak. He was Din, he was Gvura. He had a very limited view. He was strong-minded. And so Avram realized that Yitzchak needed to be balanced with someone who was full of chesed. And he told Eliezer to look for a woman who was full of chesed. And he found Rivka, who was the epitome of chesed. The din has to be balanced with chesed. So Yitzchak had to have met and married someone who was kulo chesed, like Rivka, to keep him in check. And this is true of every single relationship, every single marriage. That no one's perfect. We all have things to work on, ways to better ourselves, better our relationship. And who better than your own spouse, your wife, your husband, who knows you best, who loves you best, to help bring about the best within you. To work on those midos that need to be worked on, to emphasize the great midos you have, and to help balance you. It makes you a better person. Marriage isn't just a business partnership to have children and send them to school, but also to make yourselves a better person. Myself, one example that comes to mind, 15 years ago, at my Ofrif, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary, and at my own Ofrif, I wouldn't even speak. I was so stage fright. I would never speak in public. I refused to speak at my own Ofrif. I'd never seen such a thing before, but I just wasn't willing to get up there and speak. And now 15 years later, although it's hard each time and I get nervous each time, but at least I have some level of confidence and strength to speak in front of an entire kila. A Talmud of mine once asked me the following question about, he was dating a girl and they were close to getting engaged, but he wasn't sure if this was the right one. Everything was perfect about her, but there was just one thing that really bothered him. Whenever he'd make fun of her, she would just laugh and smile. He wanted there to be some like back and forth, give and take, you make fun of me, I make fun of you, like high school days. And I said to him, high school's over. Part of getting married is becoming a better, nicer, sweeter, softer person. That men need to get married to learn that there's emotion in this world, there's sensitivity, to care for someone. Women already have that element, obviously. And it's not our goal to make women more intellectual necessarily, but men have to become more emotional and sensitive. So that's dafka, the woman you want to marry. Someone who won't get insulted, but just make you happy, sweet, and soft. And this is something we all need. And it's not only true in a marriage, it's true in a friendship. You always need checks and balances, making yourself better. You can never trust yourself entirely. You always need for learning, you need a chavrusa, you need a shir to go to keeping you in check. You could just go off the map and not show up. But if there's a Rebbe there who's concerned about you, if there's a chavrusa who's concerned about you, keeping you in check. Same thing with a phone and a smartphone and an internet. You need to have checks and balances. You need to have the proper rules and filters and people checking on you and checking over you. Because you can never entirely trust yourself. We all have flaws. It's true in business, having the proper checks and balances in business to making sure we're doing the right thing. It applies throughout the world. And we need to have someone who's compatible, whether that's in a marriage, in a friendship, in a business partnership. We all have certain things that we are great at and certain things that we need to work on. And we need to find that right person in every arena to help make us better. And so now we bring ourselves back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was Midah of Emes, Midah of Tferes. The Sfarim tells us that that indicates a person has that perfect balance, that perfect equilibrium of having both Chesed and Din. He had both of them. He was the combination of Avram and Yitzchak. He was perfect. He was, as the Pasuk describes, Shalom. Sometimes a person thinks he's Shalom. He's so complete and perfect. He doesn't need help. He doesn't need a spouse, or she doesn't need a spouse, or they don't need a chavrusa, or they don't need a shir, or they don't need a business partner. They are independent. But Chazal is telling us that Yaakov Avinu, no matter how perfect he was and how shalom he was, he needed two wives to balance those two midos that he had. He had chesed and he had gevura, but he had the chesed which needed to be balanced with a wife of Gevura, which is Leah. Leah, who is understood as Gvura and Din. And his Midah of Gvura needed to be balanced by, not himself, you can't balance yourself. Yes, he had Chesed and Gvura, but you can't balance yourself. He needed to have his Midah of Gvura balanced with someone like Rachel, who is the Midah of Chesed. And to these opposites of marrying someone and partnering with someone who's able to perfectly complement you and balance you, someone even as complete and whole and perfect like Yaakov needed two wives to balance these various midos and make us better people. The Gra writes that the idea of sason, sason is the term of a happiness that's used for a wedding. First, sheva brachos. And he says that the word sason represents, is a description of the happiness that appears, that takes place when two opposites come together. Husband and wife obviously physically are opposites, but even when they come together with personality and emotionally opposites, that's sason. Because when you have opposites coming to match each other like pieces of a puzzle, coming together perfectly, that's what sason is. Sason is when you clap the right hand and the left hand coming together. That's sason. Two opposites, right and left. Chesed and Gvura coming together in a chasana. That's what creates tremendous sason, to be one great whole. As the Gra writes on Tefillin, Sharosh, it says, Shin on one side, Shin on the other side, which is the lashon of sason. And the right shin has three branches, and the left shin has four branches. Why three and four? So one explanation is because of the Gimel and Dalad. Gimel Dalad, three and four. Gimel Dalad is Gomel Dalam, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos. To Gomel Dalam, one who gives and the Dal receives. That's two opposites. That's Sason. Whenever you have two opposites, a person giving an Ani, a Pruta, a Tzedakah, that is tremendous Sason. That's tremendous Simcha, when two opposites making each other better. The Gomel gives makes him better into a giving person, and then the Dal is better because now he's received something that he needs. And three and four also represents, says the Gra, the three, the Gimel Avos and the Dalet Imahos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the four Imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, and Rachel. All of them coming together because they all mesh to one great whole. All about making each other great. And we've through that Gimel Avos and Dalet Imahos, we have Klal Yisrael. And the Sfarim say that Yisrael stands for Yud is for Yitzchak and Yaakov, Shin is for Sarah, Resh is for Rivka and Rachel, Aleph is for Avram, and Lamed is for Leah. The Yisrael, the Osias of Yisrael, represent the Gimel Avos and the Dalet Imahos. And in this week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu marries two wives to complete this whole, because everyone needs someone to complete them in one way or another, whether in marriage and friendship or business. You always need some type of check and balance, making ourselves better. There's an amazing Shiloh that was once asked to Rav Yashiv. Husband had taken his wife to the hospital Erev Shabbos. I've experienced this before. On three occasions, three of our children were born Erev Shabbos. And it was getting late. And finally she gave birth. And he had to get back home quickly to help with the kids. This way he makes it back in time. So right before Shabbos, the child is born. He wishes Mazel Tov to his wife and the baby. And immediately runs out to get home in time for Shabbos and take care of the rest of the kids before Shabbos begins. And that morning, the father, as the halacha tells us, gets the aliyah and gets the mishaberach, v'karash shema b'Yisrael, and he had his wife had given birth to a daughter, and he named her Rivka. But the Shabbos, he speaks to his wife on the phone, and she asks him, "So, nu, how is the shalom zachar?" Shalom zachar. Says, "I thought we had a girl. Didn't we have that sonogram a few months ago? Wasn't it? Didn't they tell us we were having a girl, not a boy?" So now he didn't know what to do. He renamed the child Rivka. That was obviously incorrect. Is he allowed to? What name could you change it to now that it's been Rivka? What's a boy name like Rivka? And Rav Yashiv explained that had the child being named something like Yonah or Simcha, which could be used for both genders, so then the answer would have been simple. But since he named the child Rivka, and Isha Kegufo, he passed that the child's name should be Yitzchak, as they were named at the Bris Milah. This is the idea of Ishto Kegufo, that no one is complete, no one is independently perfect, but by having the right partnerships in all arenas of Torah, we can make ourselves better, bring about tremendous simcha and sasson into this world with the Gula Shema V'Amitas, Meher V'Yameinu. Amen.